Morning, everyone. Trusting that everyone is well and safe through this difficult time that we have been left to confront for this season of our lives. It's a joy and pleasure, as always, to share the Word of God, no matter what the circumstances are. Just as a joy to stand here, even though the room is empty, but still be very conscious of the presence of God in the place. So it's a privilege to be your pastor and have the chance just to encounter you in a very different way this morning. We're going to share some scriptures, and I'm very conscious that our minds are consumed right now by the news, and so many are second guessing how long this will last. When will this virus, this attack finally pass? And the questions I want to ask today are blatantly obvious. How should we think about these events? How do we make sense, real sense, of today's news? And how does it fit in with the grand scheme of history? There are many things that we could say in response. I would like us to turn and bring our attention for a little while today to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, in the first 11 verses. Among the questions Habakkuk raised are, is God in charge of today's news? And if he is, why are things unfolding? Why are things happening the way that they are? And in dealing with these, the prophet Habakkuk speaks directly to our own time in light of today's news. In chapter 1, in the first 4 verses, he complains of the spiritual and moral decay in the nation. And then apparently after a time, a long period of time, the Lord answered him in verses 5 through 11. But the Lord's answer was completely and totally unexpected, as Habakkuk learned that a foreign ungodly nation, the Babylonians, were going to come and they were going to bring judgment against the people of God. So wherever you're sitting this morning, if you can get your Bible out, pick it up and look at Habakkuk chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 11 verses together. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people, who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honour. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose strength is their own God. And God will bless to us the reading of his word today. The message of Habakkuk is one of the most helpful, I believe, portions of scripture to help you and I make sense of the things that are happening in the world today. And I would like to suggest 2 statements of fact, and then 4 lessons perhaps we can learn today from the word of God. First of all, God's ways are often, if not always, mysterious. They're mysterious, and we see that in several ways throughout Scripture. The first thing we see regarding this kind of mystery is we could tackle God's seeming inaction. Because God's ways are often mysterious regarding his inaction. And God seems to be strangely silent and inactive in some circumstances that we find ourselves confronted with. And I wonder, why is it that God permits certain things to happen or to take place. Why does God allow so many injustices, atrocities, viruses to take place? Yes, at a global and international level, as well as very much for you and I today, a very real and personal level. And why? Why, oh why, is the church in the condition it's in today? Why has God permitted the gospel to become so diluted that there was widespread ignorance of his truth? Why does he allow so many wrong things to be done, yes, even in his name? Furthermore, why has God not answered the prayers of his faithful ones or his faithful people? Yeah, you know, we have been praying to God for God to work mightily in many different ways for several years, over the decades. Our prayers have been real, they've been genuine, they've been zealous, they've been sincere. We've cried out to God, but often at times it feels like nothing happens. Like the prophet Habakkuk, many are asking God today, "O Lord, how long must I call for help, but you do not listen?" And I believe this is a question that confronts not only the church, but individuals today as well. We pray, for example, for God to change someone, to bring about his or her salvation. Surely, surely God is concerned about our sincere, our genuine prayers for the salvation of a loved one. Why then does God seem to be inactive? Why does he not seemingly answer our prayers? So there's this inaction, then there's God's unexpected actions. And you see that in verses 5 through 6, because God's ways are often mysterious, yet again, regarding the way he does things, his unexpected actions. Sometimes God gives unexpected answers to the prayers that we throw out there or put up to heaven. And this, more than anything else, actually startled the prophet Habakkuk. For a long time, God did not seem to answer the man of God at all. Then when God did answer him, when he said, what he said was even more mysterious than his apparent failure to answer Habakkuk's prayer. Habakkuk was quite clear in his own mind that the need was for God to rebuke the nation and then send a mighty, great revival. But God's reply was the last thing that the prophet expected. Look at verses 5 and 6 again. "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own." But that is what God told him, and that is exactly what is about to take place. You see, we all tend, maybe not all of us, but a high majority of us, tend to tell God how he should answer our prayers. We see a certain situation or circumstance and we think that God should act in a particular way. But scripture teaches us that God sometimes answers our prayers by allowing things to become much worse before these things become better for us today. He may sometimes do the complete opposite of what you and I anticipate. He generally will. He may sometimes overwhelm us by confronting us with a Babylonian army or war or a virus. It is a fundamental principle in our Christian discipleship that you and I must always be prepared for the unexpected when we are dealing with Jehovah, with God. We pray to God to work mightily in the church. We ask God to turn the hearts of people towards him. Yet God allows terrorist attacks and wars and disasters and famines to happen. It is surely God's unexpected answer. And yet we today, we must hold on to the hope that God allows things to become much worse before they finally become better. And so in the midst of all this that's going on in the book of Habakkuk, we then begin to see that God has some very unusual methods. Again, God's ways are often mysterious regarding the methods that he may use, and sometimes they're unusual. God sometimes uses strange instruments to correct his people and church. Now the Babylonians, of all people, are the ones God raised up to chastise his people in Judah. Such a thing, we could say, we're not living in this time, but in that day would have been completely unthinkable. But here again is a fact that is evident right throughout the word of God, right throughout scripture. God, if he so wishes, can use whatever or whoever he wants to use, even a godless Babylonian army. And in the course of history, he has used all sorts of strange, weird, bizarre, unexpected instruments to bring his purposes to pass. And I would suggest today that this is so relevant. It would seem that according to the Bible, what happens in the news must be regarded in this light. So we must today, or we have to recognize the weakness, and forgive me for saying this, but the impotence at times of the church and even in our own Christian lives or lifestyles, because can we be honest for a minute or two? We have not always been faithful in the things of God. We have ignored many times the word of God. We have neglected prayer. We have trampled upon God's holy Sabbath, and we have failed to evangelize. We've stopped caring for some time about the lost people, and we have become, have we not? We have become somewhat insipid, that the world cannot at times tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, or the church and the world. So we need to understand that God may use crazy, if not indeed unusual, methods, and sometimes the very last thing we would have expected. It is entirely possible, I believe, it is entirely possible that God today is using that which could bring us fear to awaken his people, a call to rise up, to hear the voice of the Lord and bring his church to two areas, repentance and faith. Bring the church back to that place of repentance and faith. See, the second point in all of this today is God's ways are often, very, very often, they are misunderstood. Not only are God's ways often mysterious, God's ways are often very strange and perplexing and misunderstood by more than one type of person. And there's two kind of persons that really slot in here. First of all, we have the Christian who is careless, or the careless believer. See, God's ways are often misunderstood by careless Christians or careless Christianity. In Habakkuk 1 verse 5, God referred to the people in Judah, those who had become religious and slack. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. And so their attitude to all of this is, here is the prophet telling us that God is going to use the Babylonians as if God could do anything remotely like that, choose to do that. God would never use a godless pagan army to chastise the people of God. The whole idea is impossible, but yet that is exactly what God did. The trouble with Judah was they never believed the man of God, the prophet of God. And often today, people do not believe the men and women of God who've been called to bring that word in season to the church, the community, and the world. The most significant illustration of this is in Acts chapter 13, verse 41, where the apostle Paul quoted Habakkuk 1, verse 5, and declared in effect in his sermon at Antioch, listen to these words, "No, you will not believe any more than your fathers did. Because Israel has not recognized Jesus Christ as God's only Savior, has even crucified him, and now refuses to believe his gospel. God is at last going to act in judgment. God is going to raise up the Roman power to sack and destroy your temple, and you yourselves will be cast out among the nations. I know you will not believe this, for the prophet Habakkuk has already prophesied it, and you are continuing to ignore his message. But the year 70 AD inevitably came. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem and destroyed it, and the Jews were cast out among the nations. Careless believers, careless Christians often do not believe God's word, God's preachers and God's teachers. They say God would never do such a thing. But I'm reminding you that God always acts, that God does act. God may very well be using fear of instability in and among the nations to awaken his own people to teach us a very, very real life lesson. And here's the thing for you and I today. We can no longer move on from this with apathy in our lives. We must not say it's unthinkable that God could use such an instrument to arouse his feeble people. Be careful in how we view and see the things that God is doing. And of course, if there's careless Christianity, there's also, hey, unbelief and doubt by non-believers. You see, God's ways are often misunderstood by non-Christians. In verse 11, God said of the Babylonians, "Then they sweep past the wind and go on, guilty men whose strength is in their God." And so the Babylonians completely failed to understand that God was actually just using them. They credited all their success to their own strength, their own power. But God was soon to demonstrate that this is not so, and that he had raised them up so he could finally cast them back down again. So non-Christians, even more so than careless Christians, fail to understand the real ways of God. Those arrogant powers which have been used by God for his own purpose at various times in history have always prided themselves on their own achievements. The modern world prides itself on its own achievements in every sphere and every realm. But they fail to understand the true meaning of today's news. Great powers have been raised up and have ruled for a season or a time, but they become drunk with their own success. And all of a sudden, suddenly, they found themselves cast down by God. The real significance of today's news never really dawns on them at any point of their lives. And then we look at the prophet himself in verses 2 through 4, where when we see that God's ways are often misunderstood by the man or the woman of God themselves or by the prophet of God. God's ways were baffling even to the prophet. But his reaction was somewhat different. His question was now how to reconcile all of what God was doing with the great character of God Almighty. And he cried out in these verses, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Later, God made it clear to the prophet that what he was doing, but initially, even the prophet remained puzzled. And I believe as the church today, going through this season that we're going through, we can learn from the following lessons from this book, from the book of Habakkuk. First of all, today's news, now hear me and take heart from this. First of all, today's news is directly under God Almighty's control. Amen. We see this in God's reply to Habakkuk, where he said to him, "I'm raising up the Babylonians." That's verse 6. Every nation, church, every nation on earth is under, directly under the hand of God. There is absolutely absolutely no authority, there is no government that is not ultimately controlled by God. Things, we could say it this way, things are not what they appear to be. It seemed that the military ability of the Babylonians brought them to power, but it was not so, for God himself had actually raised them up. So here's what I want to say today, and we can take confidence and we can take heart from these things. God is the Lord of today's news. Hallelujah. God is still seated on the throne. Praise God. And all the nations of the earth and all authorities are directly under the sovereign rule of God Almighty. The Word of God, the Bible, asserts that God is over everything. So we can say it this way. God actually started today's news. He is controlling today's news, and he is going to end today's news. And we as the church must never lose sight of that crucial truth that we're hearing today. Then secondly, today's news follows the plan of God. It's all God's plan. The events that take place each day, listen, they are not coincidental, they are not accidental, though they may appear to be so to us. The events of today, today's news, follow God's plan. There is purpose in the news of today and what's happening in our world today. Even the events of terrorism and war, these things are not accidents. But what may be a surprise to us, hey, is actually absolutely no surprise to God. And here is the really important thing for you and I to remember. The church, amen, the church of Jesus is directly at the center of God's plan. Jesus is not building a nation. Jesus is building his church in nations all around the world, and the gates of hell will never, ever, ever overcome the church of Jesus Christ. Praise God. It is the church that is at the center of God's plan for history. Furthermore, and hear this today, God is calling Christ's church to that height, that difficult place of repentance. And I want to say to you today, the proper response to what is happening in the world is for you and I to get on our knees in our homes and to repent of our sins. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached at the outbreak of World War II. He said at the outbreak of that calamity, "This is a real test of our beliefs and our faith. Without a doubt, we have, every one of us, been slack for various reasons. And the first call upon us is to repentance." Church, I have no doubt that we need to repent as the church and as individuals for our slackness towards the things of God. And I want to leave you with just a couple more things really quickly today. Thirdly, today's news directly follows God's timetable. Listen, this comes out in several places in Habakkuk's prophecy. In verse 5, God says, "For I'm going to do something new in your days." Today's news is not only under God's control and plan, but also follows the timetable that God has laid out. And fourthly, today's news is bound up with the kingdom of God. Praise God. The key to the history of the world remains, hallelujah, the kingdom of God. The story of the nations in the Bible is only relevant as it bears upon the church of Jesus Christ. What really matters still today, hallelujah, is the kingdom of God. So for you and I, let us not be caught off guard when surprise events take place in this world, but maybe rather ask ourselves, what is the relevance of this event to the kingdom of God? Or what is God teaching me through all that's taken place? Or what do I need to correct in my life? Where have I gone wrong? Why is God allowing these things to unfold before us? Because listen, there is a meaning in God's dealings with us if we would just simply look for it. But one thing we can say in the midst of all of that is this: you need never at any moment doubt the love of God. If God was unkind enough to answer some of our prayers immediately and in our way, we'd be very much the poorer for his answers. But fortunately, God sometimes delays his answers in order to deal with our selfishness or laziness or other things in our lives that just shouldn't be there. He is concerned about you and I, and he intends to equip us for more useful service within the kingdom of God. And we should therefore judge every event in the light of God's great, eternal and glorious purpose. Let me leave you with this scripture from Matthew chapter 24 today. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. And the New Living Translation version states it even simpler, don't panic. Don't panic. How can Jesus say such a thing to us today? He can say it because Jesus Christ is God. He is the Lord of history. He is the God of today's news, the God of every detailed circumstance. No event has ever happened, in spite of God, or left him astonished, bewildered, or confused. He is our God, and he is faithful today. But hear this, the sin of man has reduced the world to an arena of chaos. Yet in the midst of the news today of which Jesus Christ is Lord, each individual, that's you and I, who has believed in him as the Saviour and Lord of life will know the power of his resurrection and will learn that today's news, however awful and terrible, cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is the lesson that God taught Habakkuk and is teaching us also. God is good. God is in control of today's news. It follows his plan, it follows his timetable, and it's all bound up with his great, glorious, eternal, and kingdom purposes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, and we thank you, God, that you are in control. We have no doubt that you are sovereign and that you are good. And yet today we pray for our government. We pray for our world leaders. We pray for those who are heading up communities. We pray for those who are working in the medical world today. We pray for the strength of God. We pray for the wisdom of God. We pray for understanding and knowledge to come to them through the word of God, that through whatever means they would hear that small, still voice whispering, go this way or do that or do this. So Lord, we commit ourselves and our country into your hands. We pray as you taught us to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we say in Jesus' name, Lord, would you have your way in the United Kingdom and do whatever you need to do. But we pray the outcome of all of this will be a greater people with a greater desire to serve God and to live for Jesus, and that men and women would turn away from their wicked ways and recognize that you are the Lord and that you're sovereign and that you're on the throne. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.